Now we've seen them, you know, advance all the way up into censoring multiple key-related Reddit boards. I mean, all of that doesn't make sense if it's just some fake LARP on the internet. But Jack Posobiec came out with this big anti-Q debunk based on chat logs, which, you know, a teenager can rig those chat logs in about 15 seconds. So, you know, the idea of Q is the strength. A man can be killed, but an idea is bulletproof. And Q really is just a series of questions in Socratic method. What's the difference between military law and civil law? I mean, basically, people who are serving enemy forces, enemy combatants, can be treated like wartime criminals, and they can be tried by military courts, military tribunals for treason. It's not just Alex Jones, but I asked the question. It's true, and I think Q has done more good as an anonymous figure by forcing us to think for ourselves with the Socratic method and asking the right questions than in 1 year than Alex Jones has in his entire career.
The cannabis industry is expected to grow from $150 million in 2018 to over $57 billion by the year 2027. This is a ground floor opportunity, and Greenflower has a free ebook showing the 500 best jobs available in this huge expanding market. Click the link below to learn more and to get your free copy.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have a very bright, he's young compared to me, but he's not that young anymore. His name is Dustin Nemos, and he has been covering Q, and he's been covering the truth movement, and he's really focused on the fake Qs and the narratives and all these things, and he's been making really huge progress at growing his channel. We've been talking for a while, and we finally got him on, and ended up being the timing right around him being called up by Q and Alex Jones pretty much going after him on his show. And of course, it's causing Dustin's channel to grow leaps and bounds, which it should, because he's such a smart man bringing such great information to people. We talk about his channel, what happened with Q, what happened with Alex Jones. He talked about whether Alex Jones was going to be convicted for treason, and that just blew up and kind of went crazy. Last year, he covered the Florida shooting, and his channel got shut down because he was asking questions about it, and it made YouTube mad and shut his channel down. And now he's, you know, he's rebuilt it back up and doing very well. So we're bringing him on. We're going to talk about all those things that happened. And then we have him stay after for my patrons to really dive into some of the Q narratives that he's been covering and trying to figure out what that's all about. This is a really good interview for people who are trying to understand the whole Q thing. It, you know, I've always been on the fence about whether it's real or not. And, you know, he's saying there's a really good element of this, and maybe it's an NSA guy, I don't know. But so many people have learned through this whole Q phenomena that it doesn't even, this is my opinion now, that it doesn't even really matter how much of it is true or not. That whoever's behind it is feeding people such great information that people are really waking up and learning a lot from this. And the theme is learning for yourself and learning to learn. Figuring out how to learn what the truth is, and that in and of itself is really a precious skill to have. And that's what we're all trying to do, is how do we discern? How do we have discernment to what the truth is and not, when it's such a chaotic world? So he's going to come on, and we're going to talk about that. But before we get into that, I want to remind you about the cancer, the Truth About Cancer Summit. It's all free, and it's coming up the end of this month, the end of September, and I'll have the dates below. It is a wonderful free summit to teach you about all the new information we know about cancer. There are solutions for cancer. What you're getting from the mainstream is not the truth when it comes to cancer. And they have the top scientists, top doctors, ton of great people coming on and talking about the truth of cancer. We have, what, 1 in 6 people now that are getting cancer? If you or a loved one has cancer, it would be a shame for you not to watch this and to share it, because there's so many great things you can learn. And it's not, you don't have to ditch your doctor, but you can learn so many other things to really help you overcome cancer and stay healthy. So please look for that link below. And now let's get into my show with Dustin Nemos. Hi, Dustin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Sarah.
Well, I'm finally getting to talk to you, which is great. Right around the time that everything is exploding with some of the things that you're working on and that you've been covering for a while. But let's talk about Q, okay? There are, I would say there's almost three factions. There's two that took it seriously, one that's taking it seriously as a LARP, one that's taking it seriously as seriously, and then there's the mainstream that just is making fun of everybody. And, you know, however, you have been trying to look at all sides of it. Can you explain what's going on with Q? Q just got shut down, too. So there's that going on right now, another huge censorship going on. Can you explain your take on Q?
Oh, that's a big question. You know, you mentioned the censorship. It's funny that some of the biggest companies in the world are censoring a LARP on the internet. But aside from that, I mean, I came at this whole Q phenomenon issue as a kind of an investment mindset. Like, I didn't really, I'm not a believer. I'm not really one that jumps on the believing boat. I'm an investor. And in that world, if you go off of your emotions or beliefs, you tend to lose money. So I came at this from a very logical background, and you know, people who watch my show, they know I'm into debate and logical fallacies and everything else, and I try to point that out for people. You know, I just started to see the coincidences. I started to see patterns. You know, I'm not a professional pattern watcher or anything, but I pride myself on being able to see a pattern sometimes. And this one was real obvious and real blatant and real in your face if you choose to look. I mean, Q often says, you know, the choice to know will be yours. You know, it's kind of what he means by that, I think, is that if you care to look beyond the curtain, you'll see plenty of evidence. You know, there's over 100 different points of evidence. I've lost count. So, you know, I'm convinced that Q is a decent bet from the logical background. And to that end, I mean, we've seen him play the MSM and play the bad guys and their reactions to him. We've seen, you know, MAGAPIL was taken down within 5 minutes of Trump mentioning it. That was really early on. And their entire website database was wiped. That's unusual for a hack. Now we've seen them, you know, advance all the way up into censoring multiple Q-related Reddit boards. I mean, all of that doesn't make sense if it's just some fake LARP on the internet.
Exactly. So, yeah. If you're taking the time to censor some conspiracy theory LARP, then maybe there's something behind it. I don't know. But there is really two camps. I have talked to people who are really serious, intelligent individuals who believe in Q. And then there's that other facet that don't, who are intelligent individuals as well. But you have been doing the research to show that there's a lot of fakes that have been coming in, and there might be two things going on here.
Yeah. And, you know, Q actually shared one of my videos recently, which is kind of incredible. And I've been thinking about why. And my thinking on that was that, you know, even though some of my own viewers have been giving me flack about causing disunity and everything, I've been doing basically what I thought Q told us to do, which is to expose fake news early on. And then now that they're well done, moved on to fake MAGA. And that's a term that Q has used, a term that I've been using for a while as well. And those are the people, the sleeper cells kind of within our own ranks, the people, the Judas figures, you might say, who are betraying our movement by mixing in truth with lies. I mean, they'll talk a good game. They've earned a reputation for being on our team. But then when the moment's right, they'll strike. I mean, Jack Posobiec is the key example. I've exposed many of them. I have a whole page on this for my website. I'm building data. But Jack Posobiec came out with this big anti-Q debunk based on chat logs, which, you know, a teenager can rig those chat logs in about 15 seconds. So it's not a difficult thing to do. And I've showed this, and that's one of the videos that Q is a shared of mine. I mean, that's the video that Q shared of mine. So it's not difficult to do this. They're still running with this fake debunk, and they're trying to spread this. I guess it's just the big lie at this point. I mean, you just repeat it enough and people start to believe it. The people that want to think that Q is fake will start to believe it.
High-quality turmeric improves focus and mood, helps increase energy, helps age-related memory decline, and much, much more. Science Natural is offering my listeners 3 free bottles with the purchase of 1 bottle. See link below for this great offer. Also, did you know that wild lettuce is similar to morphine and is the best natural painkiller known, but it does not contain any addictive opiates? Learn this and many other remedies in the Lost Ways, Methods of Our Ancestors. See the link below.
Well, and who do you think Q is? Now that you've been doing it for a while, who do you think it is?
You know, I don't even think about that question. And if I did, I wouldn't tell people, because it's just because, you know, the idea of Q is the strength. A man can be killed, but an idea is bulletproof. And Q really is just a series of questions and Socratic method. So he's leading us to things that some people, I mean, he's bringing things together that other people have already been talking about. A lot of this was in the public eye already. Most of this is basically public data. You know, yeah, he's got kind of an overview picture from wherever he's sitting, probably in the NSA or something. But all of this information that's coming out is open source investigation from the Anons, you know, the community. It's the most powerful form of investigation in the world. And just look at what they did with Shia LaBeouf's He Will Not Divide Us thing. He kept moving this flag on, like, underground and against a backdrop of a sky and in a house, and people kept finding it and taking it down just to mess with him. So these guys can find anything on anybody.
If you get a collection of smart people working together to try to figure things out, they will. And is that what you think they're scared of?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fear of Q is obvious at this point, in my opinion. I mean, they are reacting.
Well, recently he did put your video up, and then Alex Jones jumped in. What happened with this Alex Jones thing? Because he went after you.
You know, this is kind of, it was weird for me, because not only was I dealing with the fact Q just reshared all of that, which was kind of shocking a little bit. Alex Jones was like my hero for like 16, 17 years. I mean, this is the guy I looked up to since I was about 16 years old. And I got into I got my first computer and I learned about the internet. And then I found out about the Federal Reserve, and it was just all rabbit holes after that. And Alex Jones is like the one voice out there, like, passionately speaking the truth. And then, you know, after what you said about him being, you know, backed by MOS, you know, we took that to mean Mossad. We took that to mean that Alex Jones was basically a disinformation asset of a foreign intelligence power, Mossad. You know, I did a video. I mean, I probably invited his scorn, but I did a video saying, does this mean that Alex Jones will go to prison? Because this is all in the topic right now, is the Kavanaugh hearing even mentioned this line of questioning where they ask Kavanaugh, what's the difference between military law and civil law? I think basically people who are serving enemy forces, enemy combatants, can be treated like wartime criminals, and they can be tried by military courts, military tribunals for treason. It's not just Alex Jones, but I asked the question because lately they're using Alex Jones to try to censor and distract from QAnon.
Well, and Alex Jones, they can use it selectively, right? I mean, half the people in Congress, I don't know about half, but a large percentage of people in Congress we could try them for treason and different things based on what I know. But with Alex Jones, because they want to censor him so bad, they might selectively do it with him.
They may. And the opinion that I seem to see the most is that Alex Jones he's a distraction. You know, the censorship of Alex Jones did not censor Alex Jones. He tripled his audience, probably. What really happened is that everybody started focusing on this rather than on QAnon. And then when QAnon called out Alex Jones after the first censorship, then they martyred him again with the permanent Twitter ban and taking down his Apple app and things like that. So at this point, I'm fairly convinced that Alex Jones is being used to try to censor QAnon. And then you go back, you look at his history. He's let us down so many times. When the key moment was there, he threw the match. And that's kind of my argument with Alex Jones.
Like, give me an example of a couple times where he threw the match at key moments.
The Sandy Hook, Pizzagate, the Piers Morgan gun debate. He made us look like crazy gun nuts. I mean, I liked his passion because I focused on the message rather than the messenger. But in retrospect, I can see how he made us look kind of crazy.
So do you think he does logical things all the way until the very end and then makes everybody, wraps everybody up into being an idiot?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that he, you know, he'll insert his own narrative sometimes and he'll distract from things and he leaves out certain things. But yeah, at the key moment, he'll, you know, like, how was Pizzagate debunked? Alex Jones apologized to James Alefantis. I mean, that's not really debunking it, but they all ran with it, right? And ever since then.
Yeah, suddenly Alex Jones is the voice of everybody. And all the facts and data is not real anymore.
Yeah, so Hegelian dialectic, control both sides of the argument. It makes sense from a strategic perspective to have sleeper cells embedded in everyone's movement so that if they ever come against you, you can take over that movement. Like they kind of took over the Tea Party and everything else. You know, he actually did a video about my video.
Yeah, and he was hard on you. So what happened there? Did he ever really talk to you, or did he just on air decided he was going to rip you apart?
He did not even mention my name, because I think he would have lost about a third of his audience if they just compared his video to my video and what he was saying about it, because he just put in blatant lies, basically. And you know, one example was that I tell people to trust Mueller. I don't tell people to trust Mueller. Another example is I said I was very calm in my video, and he's trying to imply that I was trying to get people to kill him. I mean, he just made up lies, which is what I'm seeing
as a pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some people don't even believe he's talking about my video, but he actually basically quotes me on multiple points. Like I said, you know, he was my hero for 16 years. I'm basically the only one that made a video that day that was talking about him being tried for treason. I mean, it's real obvious if you go compare the videos and the dates and everything, and then look at what's out there on YouTube, that it was my video he was talking about. So he used a bunch of appeal to ridicule, and apparently he doesn't know my work. I can spot logical fallacies and I can call them out pretty darn well. And I just put his video, and then I did a rebuttal video, and I just showed point by point how he's lying, how he's manipulating, how he's putting words in my mouth after going to DC and complaining about the MSM and Congress putting words in his mouth, which is hypocritical. He's using insults. He calls me like dead-eyed zombie and Satan's ankle. And I've never even heard that one before. That was a strange insult. But yeah, I mean, it's basically just about an hour conversation or so between him and Owen Schroyer bashing me. And of course I had to respond to that, and I put out a rebuttal video. And, you know, the meme now is kind of, you know, the way he described watching my video. He was cooking eggs for his kids, watching my video on his cell phone and, you know, upset about it. And now everybody is talking about this meme of him. I want to get a meme picture out there, but a meme of him basically like breaking eggs and drinking liquor and cooking eggs in the morning and watching my video on his phone.
What do you think about Alex Jones waking so many people up, though? Why would they allow him to wake so many people up and then start doing all these weird things?
I don't know. I don't know if he's waking people up or if he's vacuuming people who are waking up. I don't know. Because he's pulling them in, and he's become a leader of the movement. Many people would consider him to be the leader of the truth movement.
So he's really making everybody look like fools, and the opposite. He's screwing it up, is what you're saying, and making it look to the people who haven't even thought about these things. Everybody just looks like nut jobs, and it makes it. And he could only get a certain amount of people anyways, because he's so over the top, you know, in the way he deals with stuff. And mm-hmm. So a lot of people just don't want to listen to him. And so it was kind of like a perfect storm of waking some people up, but vacuum up, like you said. And then the other people are just looking at everybody like nut jobs.
You know, it's brilliant in a Machiavellian sense, which he talks about Machiavellian stuff a lot. He knows he's a brilliant guy. My thinking is that he does some collateral good by accident. He vacuums up the hardcore people who know what's going on, because we're hardcore about the truth. We know what's going on and we're very passionate about it. So we'll ignore his sensationalist approach and his abrasive personality, like I did for so long. But yeah, he'll vacuum in truthers, and then everyone else he has this just repellent effect on. And the MSM, you know, they've featured him constantly for years and made it an easy target to attack the rest of us. So I look at the fruit of the tree. You know, is the fruit of his tree good?
Well, and you're right, because I remember I told one person, well, you might have to listen to Alex Jones on some stuff because he brings a lot of things forward. And this person was so mortified that I would listen to Alex Jones on anything. And I'm like, well, he does do, even though he's over the top and he's weird and everything else, there are some things he'll bring forward. But the fact that I even mentioned him is like too far over the top. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think what you're saying is true. We won't necessarily look at the character doing it, who is over the top. We'll look at what he's actually saying and try to get those nuggets out of him. Because I don't care where I'm getting the nuggets. And then I'm like, oh, and I'll think about it. And then I go back and I figure it out. And like you. So that's why I'll, as you can tell, I'll talk to people all over the map that might be kind of different out there because I'm trying to learn the truth. And he's one of those out there guys. But if you tell somebody who can't handle that, you look like a nut job.
It's true. And I think Q has done more good as an anonymous figure by forcing us to think for ourselves with the Socratic method and asking the right questions than in 1 year than Alex Jones has in his entire career. And I also think that the fruit of the tree and him always letting us down at the one moment that we need him to be, you know, rational and sane and actually hold his ground, that's when he lets us down. And it's a pattern throughout the years.
Well, and there's just a few things he could say about those things that would get a lot of people questioning it. You know, yeah. Like Sandy Hook, why was the school closed for 4 years before it happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I no matter what you say, how can it be closed?
He'll tell the truth when it costs the bad guys nothing. And then when it gets down to a legitimate risk, he'll throw the matches. And all of his associates now, I mean, I'm really hoping that some of them are good guys. Like, I like David Knight. I like Owen Troyer. I like Paul Joseph Watson. I like Millie. But I've exposed Posobiec as fake MAGA and a liar and a hypocrite. I've exposed now Mike Cernovich last night. I did a thing about that, which really kind of let me down. I liked Mike a lot, too. And Mike is basically trying to now throw the match in a sense with the midterms, getting people to not even show up to the vote and trying to say that we deserve to lose the House and that Republicans are just using black people and don't care about them, despite record numbers of black employment and black business up 400%. And all the good things that are happening for Black America under Trump and the massive, you know, doubling or tripling of popularity with, you know, of Trump with the black community. I mean,
well, they're starting to see that they should operate as independents and think for themselves, not as a block.
Yeah.
Because they're starting to see through the veil of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I agree.
So what do you think? I know we talked about this a little bit, but what do you think about the whole Q thing being shut down by Reddit? I mean, they have it shut down. I mean, they'll shut down individual people, but from what I understand, this is the first time they actually shut down a whole channel. Is there disturb, besides looking at truth and stuff, is there anything more disturbing in there than anything else? Any other channels or?
No, they're using that catch-all like content violation or something like that, but I'm hearing they're shutting down many different channels. They even shut down Serial Brain too. And I mean, there's nothing. He doesn't even cuss. I mean, he has pretty benign commentary. But they're shutting down people that are a threat to them. I mean, the whole censorship thing. Anyway, it just comes down to what do you do if you can't beat them in words and in argument? You have to shut them down and silence them and bully them and stop them from speaking and burn the books because you can't handle what they're saying.
Yeah, it's incredible. And they're not, you know, people say they're shutting down conservatives, but Abby Martin has been shut down and she's not, you know, a traditional conservative. They're shutting down people all over the place that just don't fit their narrative. When they shut down Richie Allen, he's not a traditional conservative. It's pretty much anybody who's really looking for truth, plus anybody they don't agree with politically. But it's more the truth seekers, I think.
people that are popping up on their radar as a threat, I think. Anyone, you know?
Anyone. And it could be anywhere. Any part of the spectrum. Now, do you think it's more conservatives at this point because that's where everybody's tending to congregate because they've taken over the left party, the Democrats?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Republicans, especially the old guard, the rhinos, the establishment Republicans have had plenty of corruption. I mean, you know, Dennis Hastert comes to mind, but it does seem to be, you know, primarily distributed on the left. That's just the party, I guess, that they were able to co-opt the fastest. Yeah. And, you know, that's the Clinton's party. And we know how a lot of this corruption stems out of the Clinton Foundation. And that's where people keep dying when they investigate that particular entity. But, yeah, they're getting their tentacles as many places as they can. And that new wave of Republicans, you know, conservatives is a term that I think kind of was made popular by the fact that we don't want to necessarily identify as just Republicans. We'd rather just call ourselves conservatives because we want some distance between us and those, you know, those Paul Ryan types.
Well, the problem with conservative is I'm not even sure if I'm, you know, back in the day, the founders of our country weren't necessarily conservative. You know what I mean? Being a libertarian isn't necessarily a conservative. Freedom of speech is kind of traditionally liberal. It's hard to, I just don't like any boxes.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of people all over the country considering themselves liberals that really have more in common with this truth movement.
I agree. I mean, you should take one issue at a time, and then you should get the arguments for both sides, and then you should consider, what if these people are lying to me? And then you should look into your sources and what their motivations might be. I mean, we know a lot. I mean, WikiLeaks even exposed a lot of these journalists were working directly with Hillary Clinton during the 2016 election. Now we know a lot of these journalists were working directly with, like, Pete Strzok and the FBI and, the, you know, these leakers and stuff. So we know that the journalists of the MSM have a very clear and established pattern of bias and corruption. We know that their whole it's much like a pyramid. They're owned by a few companies. Those people tell them what to say. They get their 4 a.m. talking points. And, you know, you can see that with any of those little compilation videos where you have like 100 different ones saying the exact same thing in their own mannerisms, their own accents, but basically the exact same message. And when you have that kind of control of the flow of information, you get a lot of power, especially when you add in things like Google and YouTube and you know, we know that they can swing elections. They can control a certain percentage of people just by messing with the search terms and the algorithms and downranking conservatives. And we know that that happens because we've seen Project Veritas prove this stuff over and over. So it's easy to prove to people. Yeah.
What do you think of this walk away movement? Do you think it's just an eye-opening experience for a lot of people that are traditionally consider themselves liberals who are realizing that they're just the censorship, freedom of speech issue is just one step too far? Because honestly, it used to be the whole notion of freedom of speech used to be on the other side of the fence.
You know, absolutely. And I don't even really consider myself a Republican. I'm actually a voluntarist. I don't even want a government at all. I think all human interaction should be voluntary, and no one should be able to force anyone on either side to do anything except in self-defense. And I'm a big, you know, classical liberal in the sense that I support the free market and laissez-faire and free speech and everything else too. But I've kind of been pushed into the conservative camp because of Trump and because of what he's doing. And I see a lot of good coming out of that. And I don't think you have to, like you're saying, identify as a conservative necessarily. I think that you can still realize that the power structure on the left has been tainted and evil and is basically pushing them further and further down the collectivist communist route of just, you know, they're the party of Antifa, they're the party of censorship now, they're the party of hate and obstruction, and that's really all they have, the party of taxation. You know, they're actually running on increasing taxes. That's a losing bet.
Well, my 14-year-old nephew said the smartest thing when he goes, one party is about values and morals, Republican Party, the other one's about doing whatever you want. And it just depends on where you stand. And I kind of thought about it. I'm like, well, I guess maybe that's where it morphed to. I mean, we're almost kind of that point. If you kind of have these traditional values, and maybe that's where conservative comes in, just being a good person and you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't misrepresent yourself just to win. If you believe that, then maybe you are conservative. Freedom of speech, believing in the Constitution. And I think that's where people are moving to. And a lot of people who are traditionally on the left are like, well, wait a minute. I believe in all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I believe in taking care of people too. I don't want, you know, when you look at these big, now this is where a lot of people divide. You know, if we have these big fascist corporations that are taking advantage of people, how do you, what is the fix for that? You know, and that's where, you know, but that's a good problem to have if we're just fighting about that. Not the problem itself isn't good, but if we can agree on everything else and then fight about how to deal with the solution,
yeah,
I could handle that.
You know, it seems that the party of the left has become, you know, it's funny in that it shows, it kind of shakes down the left-handed path versus the right-handed path. The left-handed path being to serve your own interests, the right-handed path to being to serve mankind. And the funny thing about the left is that some of the most kind-hearted people are on the bottom of this pyramid being deceived, and some of the most psychopathic, deceptive people who ironically are the ones shouting about helping others the most. They're the ones in the charities that are involved with the child trafficking. They're the ones in the leadership talking about morals and right and then completely doing the opposite thing. You know, they're really good at manipulating people's emotions. They're really good at speaking about morals and then doing the complete opposite. Back to the whole Saul Alinsky kind of rules for radical strategies. And people on the right are a little bit quieter about it, but they're more likely to, you know, donate to charities. They're more likely to help those in need. So I think that there's a lot of common ground between people on the right, people on the left, but at the top of both sides, especially on the left because of the Clintons and Obama, especially. But, you know, on both sides, they're just psychopaths attracted to power, and then they're just using our emotions against us. So